we'll do something short here. So what I want to do is just focus a little bit on whether, and we talked about this a little with Shemitah, but whether the mitzvot in Mishpatim have a particular order to them. Are they linked or not? So Nechama Leivich deals with this in the context of Perek Chav Gimel, where the pasuk says, "Ki tifga shor oyivcha or ochavarot toeh hashev tishivenu lo ki tirech amor sonacha rovet tachat masao v'chadalta me'azov lo azov ta'azov imo." Right, so if you see your enemy's ox going astray, so return it to him. And if you see him being crushed under his burden, so right, help him. Right, you shall surely help him. Right, you shall surely release him of his burden. So she says, well, what's the connection between these two? Right, you look at it and it. Right, so is there a connection? Do we look for connections or not? So she notes interestingly that the majority of early Mefarshim don't believe that there needs to be a connection between the mitzvot. They don't look for an order. And the Ibn Ezra, I'll quote you her English translation, says, "Let me clarify one principle before I begin my explication. Every sentence or ruling stands on its own. If we can find a reason linking the verses, we shall link them as far as possible. If not, we shall assume that the fault lies in the limitation of our knowledge." So he said, listen, sometimes there's a connection. If I know the connection, I'll say it. If I don't, I won't. Right? So either there isn't a connection, or if there is a connection, and I don't know it, it's not the biggest deal. Right? So he does try sometimes. Right? So this is the approach. Either that there aren't connections, or there are, but we'll be successful, we won't be successful. Whatever, right? Whatever. It is what it is. So then she notes that the modern Mefarshim, though, are much more committed to this project and much more sensitive to certain types of literary links. And therefore really do focus on this. So she notes, first of all, Shadal. Right, so Shadal is, I think we've mentioned Shadal before, right, of Shmuel David Lazzato. Right, so we're talking relatively modern, right? He's Italian from 1800 to 1865. So he says, on the second pasuk, he says, Chamor sonacha, kan amar sone, ulamala oyev. So he says, first of all, notice that the first pasuk says that calls him your enemy. Right? If you find your enemy's animal, return it to him. And then when it comes to reloading or unloading the animal, rather, it calls him the person you hate. And he says, so that already implies a certain link because, he says, "V'ulai haya yare litkarev." Sorry, "Oyev kashem misno, misone." Being an enemy is worse than just hating. "V'ulai yare litkarev eloivav shema yahargu." Lefichach lochi avto tara ela b'shavat avidato. So he says, "Listen, your enemy, you might be afraid to come near them, right? And therefore, if you're afraid to come near them, so return their object. But you don't want to be there loading their animal, unloading their animal, right? It's like, you know, someone you're scared of, okay, so you happen to find his wallet, you'll hand it back to him. But if his car breaks down at night on the side of the road, right, you're like, I don't know how much I want to be standing there for an hour helping him, right? So already he does, right, just in that he says there seems to be a connection where it's saying, listen, you have responsibilities towards people that you don't like, but there's also a certain amount of reasonability that is integrated into the mitzvah. Right? And so therefore he says, if it's your oyev, you should do the basic, return the law's object. If you hate him, but you're not like at the level of enemy, so be nice to him and maybe you'll become close to him, right? And maybe this will be what brings peace. So that's one connection that you might have, right? Which is that there's a certain responsibilities that you have towards the people you don't love, right? But they're different, right? The Torah integrates a reasonable standard, right? So that part of what he says here, and then but the quote that that Nechama Leibovich focuses on is a little bit later, and I'll read you the English. He says, above the text deals with situations where love is the undoing of justice. Don't throw in your lot with the wicked. Don't follow the majority in any unjust cause. Don't be partial to the poor. Now, in contrast, the text deals with cases where hate is the undoing of justice. Meeting and seeing the property of your enemy is followed by the prohibition of perverting the judgment of the needy, since it is the apparent disreputable character of the needy which prejudices you against him. Right? So Shaddai, right, besides for the local one here, he sees this as part of a unit, which is that sometimes love leads you to be unjust, right? Where if you're friends with evil people, so then you might end up testifying falsely on their behalf, right, to help them or something like that. Or you might love other rich people and therefore take advantage of the poor, right? So several of the mitzvot in this unit in Mishpatim are about you taking advantage of the poor because you're in the group of the powerful and the rich. You're not allowed to do that. And then the Torah has to tell you, but by the way, just like you can't take better care of your friends and disadvantage the poor or your, right? You also, right, there's hatred which might twist the way that you treat people. And therefore he says, right, there is a unit here, which is do the right thing and don't be led astray by your friendships and don't be led astray by your hatred or your enemies. Right, so there's both this local connection between these two mitzvot where here are your responsibilities towards the people you don't love, but there is a reasonability standard that you only have to return the lost object to the person that you're an enemy to, but you don't have to like be involved with them constantly, and someone who you just have problems with, so you should be more involved, and maybe that will change it. But all of that is part of a larger rubric of don't allow friendship or the opposite of friendship to sway what you do, always do the right thing, right? So that's one attempt by Shaddai to link both these mitzvot and link this whole unit in general. So that's Shaddai. And then she notes that she also quotes Casuto. So Casuto, Umberto Casuto, was another academic scholar. He writes, you shall not perverse... verse 6 says, you shall not pervert the justice due to your evyon, usually rendered poor, in his suit, meaning his lawsuit. Appears at first surprising, since it was already stated in verse 3, nor shall you favor a poor man. And it seems an unnecessary repetition. But we may presume that the word evyon here is not the usual word meaning poor and needy, but another substantive from the stem ava, avi, found in other Semitic languages, and possibly originally also in Hebrew, which means to refuse, to be unwilling. Accordingly, the noun denotes here an opponent, adversary, and it's a synonym of the nouns oyev, right? So he says, if you don't think that evyon is poor, so maybe it's not don't treat a poor person unjustly, it's don't treat your oyev unjustly. And if that's the case, then the entire unit is don't treat your enemy badly. Right? Is don't allow the fact, right? So not like Shaddai, which is don't allow love to sway you away from justice and don't allow hate to sway you around from doing the right thing. It's don't allow hatred to twist what you do in the court, twist what you do outside the court. So this signification makes it easier to understand the use here of the pronominal suffix, so he says, if this be so, we have our prohibition corresponding to the two preceding admonitions. When you're called upon to adjudicate between your enemy and someone else, do not pervert the judgment against your enemy because he is your enemy. The three verses of this group thus contain three synonyms: your enemy, the one who hates you, your adversary. And then she just summarizes it. Shaddai looks for common psychological love-hate factor linking the rulings enunciated in verses 1 through 6, but his explanation lacks plausibility, because love is not necessarily the factor prompting one to bear false witness in favor of the wicked and follow the majority in an unjust cause, right? She says, I just don't like it, because there are many reasons why you might twist judgment. It could be you need money, you want money, right? You're greedy. So she doesn't love it. It might just as easily be hatred of the opposing party. On the other hand, she says, an objection may be raised against Kasuto's explanation of the word evyon. It's not the only time this word appears, and whatever it does, it's a synonym for ani, for poor, right? She says, Kasuto is very nice, but it doesn't seem to be grammatically right, because usually, evyon really does mean, right, poor. And therefore, where she really leaves it is that, where she really leaves it is that, you know, she does feel like there should be a link, but what she's highlighting is that any attempt to do it is not so easy, right? So, you know, it could, it can be a fruitful thing, and you see that both Shaddal and Kasuto really do try. But on the other hand, as Ibn Ezra notes, it's hard, right? You'll try, and sometimes you'll fail. And ain my last note. But that, I think, is just, you know, really a major question in general in reading Mishpatim, is are we supposed to assume that there are links or not? And what this sort of illustrates is that we might be inclined to say that there are links, but when you actually try to play it out, it might be creative. It might shed light on it. But, you know, it might not always work, and the links might be me forced, and that's also a possibility, and you might just have to be left with the Ibn Ezra and say there probably is some sort of link, and maybe we can get in generalities, but forcing it isn't always the best thing. So those are just some possibilities, but again, it is the major question, I think, of Mishpatim, which is, to what extent are these laws a pattern, and to what extent are they not? And again, like we talked about yesterday, it might just be that they aren't linked to each other as much as they're expressions of the Aseret HaDibrot, and that's their organizing principle, but maybe they're not connected to each other, right? They're different units which, you know, develop, so, right, you could go in different directions and just say, you know what, there isn't a connection, or there doesn't have to be a connection, and that's fine. Okay, so those are just some ideas on that. That went longer than I thought, but that's fine. And I guess I'll see you for sheer, assuming I don't have a blackout in like an hour and a bit. Okay? Hey, Mordechai.